Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks podcast. In case this episode, I need to get something off my chest.
Really? I didn't expect that.
Well, it has to do with truck engines, which is what we do, pickup trucks, right?
I didn't think there was going to be this much drama around truck engines.
Yeah, but it seeped into my personal life.
Really?
Yes.
Explain.
Because there was news earlier, like a week ago. There was a rumor because GM hasn't announced really their next generation of V8 engines completely. We don't know the specs yet.
Right.
But a GM Authority, which is pretty authoritative website.
Yeah, it's a good place to find some pretty credible information.
About GMs. They talked about the sizes of their upcoming engines, V8 engines. We actually have it on our TFL truck website. But when I was doing that story, I entered this existential crisis for some reason.
Because you want to take your 4.8 LS swap and do a 6.6?
Not quite. I just thought to myself, if GM is investing almost $1 billion into Generation 6 small block V8 engines, they should be like amazing.
Right. Yeah, but, I agree.
But I'm not sure they will be amazing.
Well, they're making them bigger. So that's good.
Yes.
The 5.3 is becoming a 5.7.
Uh-huh.
And the 6.2, a 6.6.
Those are good things.
Yeah, I'm happy about
that. So that is the unofficial number, right?
Yeah.
So this is according to GMAuthority.com. So we have to be very clear, right? So GM has not announced this yet. The only thing GM said is actually, this was several months back actually, that they said they're working on Gen 6 still. They're retooling their factory, specifically in northern New York State. I think it was near Buffalo or Buffalo. And that it'll be like 4 to 6% more efficient than the previous generation V8 engines.
And presumably more powerful.
They didn't quite talk about power quite yet.
Yeah.
But we have to assume it's going to be more powerful.
It's a bigger engine. You would kind of figure as much. So
yeah.
It's good to see that they're at least investing in V8s. So like we've said in the past, we've known this for a while that they were going to do this. The V8s are not going away from the GM lineup.
No. No, but the reason why I entered this kind of thought crisis is because I was thinking to myself, I need like if I think about like new pickup trucks, I want like a quantum leap.
Right.
You know, I don't want to spend, you know, if a company spends almost $1 billion on something, I want it to be like twice as powerful or twice as efficient. You know, let's not talk about 4% improvements here.
Well, but that's just on efficiency. We don't know yet what they're going to do with these V8s. And arguably, GM is the king of V8s. The small block Chevy is historically one of the most important engines.
And I think the best selling engine in history of engines.
Yeah, so
potentially. Because they did a story like a year ago where they were marking like 100 million small blocks sold.
Which is a lot.
100 million.
Yeah.
So.
That kind of brings us to the topic of today's podcast. We're talking about the best engine for a truck, and we're going to talk about a lot of different sizes of trucks.
Yes.
I do want to just say, right from the get-go, historically, you could definitely make an argument that in all of history, the small block Chevy is the most important engine for a truck.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's why I think this episode of our podcast is really about the best engine, not maybe specific. We'll talk about all the engines.
Yeah.
And
well,
also,
maybe not every single engine ever.
How much time do we
have?
We
got an hour.
Also, Don, one of our viewers. By the way, we're live on patreon.com/TFLcar. So thank you very much for your support. Thank you for joining our live shows for this podcast. This is how you can get our podcast before anybody else gets our podcast. And Don actually comments here and he says, I hope you will talk about the gas particulate filter. This is the story that kind of was up front, also front and center this week.
Yeah, that's the other piece of news that we want to talk about. So the first piece of news was that GM is doing their Gen 6 V8s, and it's going to be a 5.7 and a 6.6. We don't know tons more information than that at the moment. But that particulate filter on the EcoBoost.
We have official information about this.
Yeah, that's the other bit of news. And there's been a slight change since the story first broke.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, a YouTube channel, CTE Tech, talked about this a couple of weeks ago. So I want to give a shout out to CTE Tech. because and this was precipitated. We're talking about Ford EcoBoost 3.5 engines, so their biggest twin turbo engine, and we're talking about them adding a gasoline particulate filter or GPF to those EcoBoost engines. So this not affecting 2.7 EcoBoost. This is not affecting the 3.0. This is not affecting the 5.0 V8 specifically for 3.5. And their website, Ford.com, and we actually have their website here that we could show you if you're watching this podcast, is that the power numbers changed on their website, specifically for the 3.5 EcoBoost and also their hybrid engines, the 3.5 hybrid.
Yeah, on the 3.5 for 2026, on their website, it says 382 horsepower, and you actually did the work to reach out to Ford's PR team and ask a little bit more about this, and they said that this is a typo and that the horsepower is not going to change.
Yeah, because it was previously 400 horsepower. So it was really easy to remember. And I'm kind of a numbers dude too, like you. So V8, 5-liter Coyote, 400 horse. 3.5 EcoBoost, 400 horse. They cost about the same money.
Yeah.
They're different types of engines. So if you're looking for sound like our Tremor, you go V8.
And different power curves.
Yes. If you're looking for low-end torque, you'd go E-twin turbo. But same power numbers. So when we saw this on their website, it started ringing a lot of bells in my head. And
Alarm bells. Yeah. Yeah. As it did, I think, for a lot of people, which is why viewers like Don are asking the question.
Yes. So now I have a quote from public relations. And it says, the GPF, the gasoline particulate filter, does not influence powertrain numbers as they are the same between the 2026 model year and the 2025 model year. There are typos on our website and we're getting those fixed. So this is the statement from them. So this is a little weird, but nonetheless, it also kind of got into my brain. I'm like, well, is now a V6 twin turbo bad engine? Not bad engine, but like not the most ideal engine. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, what is the most ideal engine for a truck?
Yeah, so that's kind of what got us onto the topic for today's podcast. And the way that we want to do this is we want to start with the most popular trucks. We're going to start with half tons. Then we're going to work our way down to midsize and down to compact trucks. And finally, at the end of the podcast, we'll finish strong talking about HDs.
And then we'll make the final call.
Yeah, what's the best engine of them all?
Yes, of them all.
Yeah. So you want to go ahead and start with half tons?
Yeah, let's do it.
So there's a lot of engines in these trucks because they sell a lot of these trucks.
Yes.
Primarily V8s, twin turbo V6s.
Which is becoming more prevalent, actually.
Some hybrid systems.
Yes.
Some fully electric powertrains.
And also a turbo diesel.
Turbo diesel.
Yes.
And now there's also, well, in the near future, there's going to be a range extended electric powertrain. So there's really a lot of options.
Yeah. I think we can cross the entire gamut of engine types just within the half ton segment. So let's start with the V8.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, right?
Historically has been the go-to engine for half ton trucks, trucks of that size. And GM has kind of ruled that space for a really long time historically. That being said, 5-liter Coyote V8 is arguably the king at the moment, especially if you want to build a high horsepower street truck. People are throwing superchargers, throwing turbos at Coyotes and making insane power figures.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of potential with that engine.
Yeah, and we actually own one of these. We alluded to it, of course, and you've been watching us, you know, 2025 F-150 Tremor with a 5.0 V8. We have it. We have many videos. In fact, we published another drag race video this week. And like you said, it's a great engine for truck. It's great engine for enthusiasts because it's a high revving engine. Like specifically, like for example, Roman is drag racing it in this video. The red line is just above 6,000.
Yeah.
So it's a rev happy engine.
Oh, and it loves to rev.
Yes.
And it finds its power up there. And again, there the aftermarket potential for a Coyote is pretty limitless. So V8s are still fantastic. The Ram V8s.
Brought the Hemi back.
Yeah, yeah.
Hemi's back.
Which is nice.
Yes.
They are comparatively dated.
Yes, and not as rev happy as the Ford engine. But still, I mean, I mean, it's been around for, what, 20-something years?
And it's still a V8.
Yes.
But I do want to give credit to RAM when it comes to turbo straight six options, because in general, for myself, and this is a personal preference, but between a V6 and a straight six, I generally lean towards straight sixes. And the 3-liter Hurricane that you can get in the RAM now is a really impressive engine.
It's a gem. And we're experiencing more and more of this engine. It came out, what, just over a year ago into the pickup truck world with RAM. And the more we test it, I think the more we like it. With one caveat, it's as quiet as a mouse.
Yeah, and usually in something like an RHO where they made it a little bit louder,
yeah,
it doesn't sound
that exciting, maybe.
Yeah, so it's maybe missing that a little bit. But between an RHO and an EcoBoost-powered Raptor, I actually like the Hurricane in the RHO more.
Yeah, well, it makes more power. I mean, if you look on paper even, the high-output straight-six twin-turbo in the RAM RHO is 540 horsepower. And also, so that's more than 450 in the high-output Ford, and way more than the GM V8. So we talked about GM V8 engines, you know, selling hundreds of millions of engines, but once they do a version of it, they stick to it. The current 6.2 and 5.3s have been around also quite a long time.
But what the Hurricane doesn't have is a hybrid option like a Power Boost.
Exactly.
And the Power Boost offers you a few extra goodies that are really useful, in particular the power takeoff that you can use to power as much as a welder, which we've actually done. We've done a demo of that, and we used your
F-150
Power
hybrid,
Boost
yes,
to weld. And that's a really cool feature and capability to have, plus the fact that with a Power Boost, with that hybrid system, you have a massive torque figure.
Exactly, and it's a very quick vehicle as well. But here's the thing, and I think a lot of commenters, and by the way, we also have a comment on Patreon from Michael. So Michael said, I was watching one of your older videos where you were driving F-250 and GMC 2500. We'll talk about heavy duties in just a few minutes. Through snow, and it did not appear that you aired down the tires. Is there a benefit to airing down when traveling through deep snow? Yes, but let's get back to that.
Yeah, yeah, we can come back to that.
Yeah, I think people who are listening and watching right now, they're saying, okay, you introduce turbos to an engine, you introduce electric motor, and you know, into the transmission like the hybrid. You add in complexity.
Yeah, you are.
So
there's not any brand new truck you can buy that comes without complexity. So I'm that doesn't necessarily bother me.
Yeah, and do you see where my crisis is coming in now? It's like,
are you having more than one crisis?
Crises. What is the plural of crisis?
Like crises?
Crises. Yeah. No, it's like I want an awesome engine. And awesome means also durable, reliable, right?
Yeah,
so that's true. What pickup trucks really are about. They're about, you know, backing you up and helping you doing your work, maybe recreation, you know, when you're going on vacations or when you be doing your job. It has to be reliable and durable.
Yeah, and when it comes to reliable and durable, it's hard to beat the 5.7 iForce V8 that you have in your older Tundra.
Yes.
Now, we are primarily, for this podcast, focusing on engines you could go out and buy brand new right now.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
Because if we brought in all of truck history into this,
we would be here for maybe all day, 8 hours.
It would be a much longer podcast. But it is still worth noting, because that's still a reasonably recent engine.
Yes.
You can get a lightly used truck with the 5.7 iForce V8. That's a hard engine to beat for longevity.
Exactly. And mine currently has about 92,000 miles, and it acts as if it was brand new. I mean, no hiccups, nothing. And also, we have to talk about transmissions a tiny bit, right? Because over the years, over the last, 5 years, we've gone from, for example, a 6-speed automatic in that Tundra. We've gone to mostly 10 speeds and some, you know, 8 speeds,
yeah,
and such. So, so we are also, manufacturers also changing their transmission lineup as well.
Yeah, which is great, especially when you're pulling a trailer, and if you live up in the mountains where we do, more gears in the transmission, more ratios to choose from is better. But in general, hybrid systems, in trucks. Very impressive.
Yeah, and partially, I think a huge benefit that you mentioned, working with your truck, welding off of it, helping a friend, helping to charge your friend's electric car or truck, right? All those benefits are there with a hybrid like the Ford F-150.
Yeah, and then as far as a range extender, it remains to be seen.
We don't know.
Ram hasn't come out yet.
But speaking of complexity, the range extended chassis that Ram showed recently, there's a lot of complexity there.
Yeah.
There's a large fuel tank. There's a large battery. There's two electric motors.
Yeah, you've got basically two powertrains.
Two complete powertrains with an exhaust system, too.
Yeah.
Two complete powertrains. For example, we saw the new Grand Wagoneer range extended as well, and that's coming on sale very, very soon. And here's the chassis. There's a lot of there's not an empty spot on this frame.
There's a lot going on. I think if you're shopping for a brand new truck, it's not that likely. Statistically speaking, it's not likely that you're going to hold on to this truck for 20 years and 450,000 miles.
Yeah.
So I think for the most part, for the people that are actually shopping for one of these, it's fine. It's kind of a non-issue because you'll probably hold on to the truck for 100, 150,000 miles in 5 to 10 years. But I get where you're coming from. It will be an interesting powertrain to test, though.
Oh, yeah. And also it will have the power takeoff options.
Yeah.
You'll be able to use it to weld off of. I want to see actually somebody who owns a Grand Wagoneer for welding.
Welding off the Wagoneer, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I don't know if that's going to happen a ton, but we could do it. Yeah, we could demo it. Why not?
Anyways, so while we're talking about Hafton's case, I think let's kind of discuss, first of all, a little bit more about the gasoline particulate filter, and also let's pick our favorite powertrain.
Yeah, because we still haven't talked about what I would argue are the peak engines in half-ton trucks.
Ooh.
Two in particular.
Continue. Okay.
The TRX, which went away, but we know is coming back.
It's coming back, yeah.
And the Raptor R.
Oh, I thought you were going to go 3 liter straight six Duramax.
We haven't talked about that either, which I do want to talk about because that's one of my favorite engines in a half-ton truck.
Because it's straight six.
Yeah, and it's a diesel.
Yes.
Tons of torque, great fuel economy. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about it. 3 liter Duramax.
Our producer Cole is hating us right now.
Is he?
Because we're jumping topics.
He's not hating us any more than usual.
And our listeners are hating us. Let's talk about the Duramax. Because you and I have tested it on the Denver 100 MPG loop.
Yeah.
We run it. We've been running it for years. And we towed the trailer. And it was super impressive.
Yeah, it's a fantastic engine. It gives you a lot of the perks that you would get from stepping up to an HD with fuel economy, with torque, with towing behavior, capability.
Smoothness, everything.
Yeah, so 3 liter Duramax, fantastic engine. There's a reason that that's around in the Eco Diesel.
And GM really won that game.
Yeah, they
Ford stepped away from their half-ton diesels, so did Ram.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Nissan Titan no longer exists, right? It's been discontinued. So GM really won the small diesel game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a fantastic engine. We love that 3 liter Duramax. It's also impressively quiet, not very clattery. It's very smooth. It's comfortable. But the range that you get from it, the torque that you get, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great engine.
And it's an engine that gives you great driving range with a smaller fuel tank.
Yeah.
You don't need 36 gallons or 40 gallons of fuel. You only have, what, about 24? But that's plenty to go 500 miles or maybe more
on a tank.
On that one tank.
Yeah, which is awesome. I think Nathan and I drove almost 600 miles one time in a Yukon with a 3 liter Duramax.
Yeah.
Great. But once again, I'm going to say the peak engine that we've tested so far in half ton for me is a Raptor R.
Explain, because I was going to argue. I'm going to argue with you.
Are you?
I like the Hellcat.
Really? So you like the TRX motor more than the?
So partially.
Raptor R.
So the Raptor R engine is incredible because it's basically a race car engine in the truck.
Yeah, and that's how it feels.
Yes. And the way it revs, you know, they have a digital gauge now in the, for example, the Raptor R. The tach is digital. And I don't know if that digital image can keep up with the revs, the changing revolutions of that engine. It's incredible.
Oh, it's such an impressive engine.
But there's something missing. Like when we put, we used to own an F-150 Raptor R, and this was after we owned the TRX. And the TRX is still sticking in my mind as a slightly more favorable truck. It just, there's something, maybe this Raptor engine is too refined. In the Hellcat, you hear the blower a little bit more. You know, it kind of whines and breathes.
But the Raptor R was a bit quicker.
It was, yeah.
And to me, so when we had our TRX and shortly after had our Raptor R, the Raptor R was more expensive. But it felt like they took the TRX formula and just made it a bit better.
They refined it.
Yeah.
But, and I agree with you, but it seems like when you are going for that top-of-the-line truck, it needs to be more raw. You have to refine it less.
Right.
Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
But it's like, not,
it has to be brutal. It has to punch you in the face.
It's not every like the Raptor R didn't sound good, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it sounded good, and it was quicker.
But that blower is too quiet. Ford, make your blower louder. I don't know how.
I think they both could benefit from making it a little bit louder. And Then, recently, we were at SEMA.
Yes.
And we saw a 900-horsepower version of the Raptor R.
Yes.
Which would be exciting.
Yeah, I don't even.
Can you imagine driving that?
Yes. And I can imagine the smile on my face.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if they come out with this kit.
And they're planning. They said they are. They said they are next year.
It is a plan. It's what, a 3-liter Whipple?
Yeah. On a 5.2 V8.
Yeah.
5.2 liter.
So it should be possible in the near future to bring your Raptor R up to 900 horsepower through Ford, through your dealership, which is insane.
Okay, but let's come down from the clouds. I mean, when you're spending $112,000 or I don't even know what this kit will cost.
Yeah.
But let's say $120,000-ish.
My guess would be $130,000.
Yeah. Most of mere mortals probably will never buy a truck like this.
Yeah. No.
So even though those engines are amazing, and the thing about those engines, the Hellcat, the Predator engines and the Ford, they offer effortless power. Like anytime you step on the throttle just a little bit, you could pass somebody easily. You could have some fun. Just, it's amazing, effortless power, and that's a lot of fun. But it's not approachable for a lot of people.
No. You could make an argument that none of the trucks on this list are that approachable because everything is getting pricey. But
do you see my crisis now?
Yeah. Well, that is a crisis we're all dealing with. But to your point, if I'm going to be more practical.
Yes.
More.
For not, just a minute.
Not strictly practical. Because I think the practical thing
is to buy
do,
used.
You could argue, is buy an older truck.
Yes.
But if I want to be more practical, I would go for the 3-liter Duramax on this list.
Okay. So that's where you're going. You're going straight six.
If you're telling me I can't have a 900-horsepower Raptor R.
That's what I said. You can't.
then I'm going to pick the Duramax, yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I will pick for the half-ton. We're strictly talking about half-ton segment right now.
Yeah, and then we'll move on.
You know, I was going to say, like if you asked me a week ago before my crisis, I would have said 3.5 hybrid. In the Ford, and we've driven the Tundra hybrid as well. In fact, really soon this month and also into early December, we're doing truck of the year testing for 2026 half-ton trucks, and we do have a Tundra hybrid. We do have an F-150 hybrid. But the Tundra hybrid is mostly focused on power and not as focused on efficiency or power takeoff features.
I think the power boost is better.
Yes. So a week ago, I would have said power boost, but today I'm going to say Coyote.
Interesting.
Did you see that coming?
No, I did not, because you're neither going for the most power and torque, nor the best fuel economy, nor the power takeoff. Is it purely for the love of the game?
No. Wow. No, it's... Like, because reliability kind of creeped in into my brain.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I'm not saying the 5-liter is the most reliable engine of all time, because you could argue the Toyota V8 is probably the most reliable V8 if you're judging by, you know, stories we heard about million miles on those engines, right? But I'm saying it's a little bit more, you know, there's not as much going on there. I know they have fuel saving technology in that V8 now, so there is some cylinder shut off in that engine. And a lot of people talk about those technologies as taking away some reliability from the engine. But still, I think it's the most rev happy. We own one of these right now, and it's just a good all-around engine.
It is a good engine. All you got to say to me is you're a big V8 guy, and I'll tip my hat to you.
So it's not a big argument?
No, it's not going to be a big argument. Okay. But I am a little surprised. Now, let's...
Should we go midsize?
Move to midsize. This is going to be simpler because there are...
I think so.
...not quite as many different options.
Yes.
On the table, it's primarily V6s.
Straight V6.
Straight V6s.
I'm sorry. I'm saying straight as in no turbocharging.
Yeah. There are the Ford, the 2.7 and the 3-liter in the Ranger Raptor turbo V6s. Mm-hmm. And then quite a few turbo 4s. Also a hybrid system in the Toyota.
Yes.
No plug-in
hybrids. But also a 4-cylinder turbo hybrid.
Yes. Yeah. No plug-in hybrid because Jeep walked away from doing the Gladiator 4xe plug-in hybrid. So at the moment, that's an option that we
and we don't know where that decision really rooted itself. We just don't know. We're not privy to that information. But yeah, we just don't know.
Yeah. So here where we are, we don't have a plug-in hybrid option. But if you want a hybrid, you can go for the Toyota iForce Max.
Once again, a little bit more power. Specific, you know, goal of that engine is a little bit more for power and not efficiency so much, and also no real. I mean, I know the TRD Pro and TRD Trail Hunter Tacomas have that 2.4 kilowatt system now, but we're talking about like you can't weld off of that easily.
No, it's not as substantial.
So it's not as substantial.
Yeah, in that realm, in those options. For me, by far, my favorite engine option is that Ranger Raptor 3-liter turbo, twin turbo V6 that makes so much power, especially with the Ford Performance tune that we put on
ours. It's also effortless. It's effortless to drive.
455 horsepower, 536 pound-feet of torque with the Ford Performance tune that we
put on our mid-sized truck.
Ranger Raptor.
Yes.
It was so powerful.
Yes.
And then, as well, even a step down from that, if you want a truck that's a little bit more practical, the 2.7 turbo you can get in the Ranger.
Yeah.
It's also a great engine option.
I agree 100%. I don't think I'm going to argue with you either. So I used to own the GM, the new turbo turbo 2.7. Max engine in the GM. And good engine. It's a little bit strained. You know, it doesn't feel as effortless.
It's torquey, even, 430 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah, very, very torquey. Yeah. Very, very nice. But it's just, it doesn't have that, well, now I like refinement. So you see my crisis?
Well, yeah, but you're talking about a different type of truck.
Yes, we're talking about small trucks, usually more fun. This is where fun is more important.
Yeah,
it's sometimes less than work, right?
The Colorado and the Canyon, that engine is a little coarse.
Yeah, it's not as happy to rev. It's just not as pleasing a lot of the time to drive. Even though I towed my boat with my Chevy Colorado Turbo Max, you know, we went camping with it. We did a lot of different things with it. Toyota engine is also, you know, it's a step up from the V6 and the 6-speed that they used to have.
For sure.
A big step up as far as overall torque delivery,
and
power,
drivability.
Drivability, big step up there.
Especially towing. You've got so much more low-end torque, even if you don't go for the hybrid.
Yes, exactly.
Just the standard turbo 4 has way more torque. The 8-speed, that makes a big difference. So for us towing up here in the mountains, the turbo 4s actually do really well. If you want to go a little more old school, you could do the Frontier. That 3.8-liter naturally aspirated V6, which is good.
It's and if you want to go more old school, you'll get the Gladiator V6 with a Pentastar.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a little bit more old school, the V6 Honda Ridgeline.
Sure.
Which is a great engine. Yeah. I mean, Honda is known for making some amazing V6 engines throughout their history.
Yeah, of the naturally aspirated V6s, the Frontier would be my personal favorite.
Why is that? Because it's a little bit heavier. I mean, more displacement, a little bit more torquey.
Yeah, and it feels like the Frontier, what they turned that into was what a lot of people wanted the Tacoma to become. Because there's obviously people out there that complain about the Tacoma now having a four-cylinder turbo, which I understand.
Yes.
It drives much better than the old Tacoma, objectively. So I don't actually mind what the Tacoma turned into, but if you want something a little more old school, I think the Frontier is a great option. If you're going for all-out performance, Ranger Raptor, hands down.
And I think, but also the caveat being the 2.7 twin-turbo Ranger.
Yeah.
Because it's not as expensive, you can get into that truck. I mean, Ranger Raptor still starts at like 57, right, with destination charges, right? So if you can't, that's a little bit high to reach for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to step down, the 2.7, you can jump into that truck for like 40 grand, maybe 44-ish.
I still think in the world of a GMC Canyon, AT4X, AEV edition, that's closing in on 70 grand.
Yes.
Or a TRD Pro or a Trail Hunter Tacoma that's in the mid $60,000 range.
Could touch 70 also.
Yeah. I think that the Ranger Raptor is a good deal for a top of the line truck.
Yeah.
Off-road mid-sized truck. So that powertrain, ultimately if you get into a Ranger Raptor, especially one with the Ford Performance tune for $800, none of the other mid-size truck powertrains are going to hold a light to it.
No.
Not even close.
And, I mean, time will tell, obviously. I mean, we can redo this podcast 10 years from now. And
sure,
maybe,
yeah.
And maybe we could talk about, you know, the reliability of all these powertrains, but we can't quite, you know, have a great grasp on that right now because these engines are only, what, about 2, 3, 4 years old, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have a huge grasp on this engine.
So in the midsize, you're also voting
the
Ford V6s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think even though they have twin turbos, these are fairly efficient. If you don't push them, they're pretty efficient.
Yeah, they're fun.
And they're also fun, and they're very fast, and they tow great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Done.
There you go. Now, as far as compact trucks go.
Tiny.
This is going to be easier.
There's only two.
Yeah. There's a Santa Cruz and a Maverick.
Yes.
The Maverick hybrid all-wheel drive that we had was great.
Not
only for being efficient and practical, but when we hooked it up to a trailer at the peak of what it was rated to pull, which was 4,000 pounds, it still did great.
Yes.
So this powertrain, even towing and downhill,
yes,
it did a great job of keeping the speed of the trailer, truck and trailer combination in check. So this powertrain excelled on all fronts. It wasn't exciting to drive. It didn't sound great.
Well, because it's a little droney because of that continuously variable planetary gear set, right?
Transmission. Yeah, so not a belt style.
Not a belt driven.
CVT, no. Which is important for durability.
Yes.
There's a big difference there. So this powertrain, the hybrid system, plus the all-wheel drive on the Maverick, even if you don't get the all-wheel drive, but we like it with.
And the 2-liter in the Maverick is a little bit, tiny bit underwhelming. A lot of the cases, you have to pay more for it. Also, this is what I learned this week, is when they went from 2024 Maverick 2-liter EcoBoost to 2025 models with the refresh, they also added that gasoline particulate filter to that engine.
Interesting.
And that was partially the rating change. Also, there was a little horsepower decrease. And it kind of makes sense. Even though Ford is saying that gasoline particulate filters won't affect the big V6 EcoBoosts, you're adding a little bit of back pressure, right? Because you're adding another filter to the exhaust system, hence adding back pressure. Hence, you could affect your power.
Yeah.
Potentially.
It would be interesting to see a dyno comparison between a 2025 and a 2026.
Well, we could probably.
Yeah, I think we could make that happen.
We could do it in the future, yes.
Absolutely.
But just to wrap up a little bit, Maverick and the Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz, we also had a long-term Santa Cruz.
Yeah, and especially the turbo version of the Santa Cruz is very quick. So.
Yeah, but the turbo version is DCT, dual clutch.
Yeah.
Which is.
There's drawbacks.
It has drawbacks. I mean, dual clutch transmissions are amazing for sports cars, in my opinion. You know, when you're driving in a very sporty manner, quick shifting, you know, in the canyon, on the canyon road or something like that.
And they can be good for fuel economy as well, which is why some more economic cars use them. But if you're on a not even a trail, but a rutted dirt road, see the dual clutches, they can get very hot.
Pretty hot, yes. And also, they could be jerky to get off, starting up. They could be a little jerky. So not ideal smooth powertrain.
No, there's some drawbacks there. And then back to the Maverick, you mentioned the 2-liter. I think that the Lobo is a fun truck. Not necessarily because of the engine so much as the rear diff, the all-wheel drive system, the styling of it. So,
well, there you are kind of going autocrossing.
Yeah, if you're watching this podcast, you can see a video of me hustling around a Maverick Lobo. I like the Maverick Lobo a lot, but I wouldn't say that the highlight of it is that 2-liter. So in the compact category, I'm going to give all the credit to the Maverick Hybrid.
I think we agree 100%. I think they nailed it with the Maverick Hybrid. Also in efficiency. Because Mary drove it for a week, and she got like 46 mpg in it. So, I mean, Maverick Hybrid is...
Makes it such a useful vehicle. It's awesome.
King of tiny engines.
Absolutely.
Now, we got to flex a little bit of muscle because we're transitioning into heavy duties.
Yeah. Should we start with gas?
Yeah, let's start with gas.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah. Our favorite heavy duty powertrains, probably?
No, especially because we live in the mountains. If we're getting into an HD truck, it's to tow bigger trailers. And I think if you live in a flatter area, it makes maybe more sense
to get a gas engine. Yeah.
Here with our steep grades, just the exhaust brake alone.
So let's start with Ford. So if you look up F-250, we were one of the first people with a Godzilla 7.3 V8.
Yeah,
and the F-250.
7.3 has had its little hiccups and speed bumps.
And they also have a 6.8 engine. So they have kind of two versions of a very similar engine for gasoline. The 6.8 is a little bit more price conscious, so it makes a little bit less horsepower, but still quite a good engine. And then, of course, the 7.3 gas for them is kind of their top dog gasoline engine.
Yeah, and then GM has the 6.6 in Duramax form and a 6.6 in
gasoline form. And it's going to be curious what they're going to put the 6.6 upcoming Gen 6 V8 into the half-ton trucks. I'm wondering if they're going to be reusing their block probably from their heavy-duty engine or at least the design of the block, right?
Yeah, I wonder. And then it could be some shared parts.
And then kind of making more power from it. And then Ram has had the Hemi, I don't know how long.
But
maybe almost too long. But that 6.4 Hemi, the larger displacement Hemi, is actually a pretty good engine.
It is. It's been around for a long time for.
But it's not a power king anymore.
No, it's not. It's pretty anemic. So between all the gas V8s you could get in an HD truck, I would go for the 7.3.
I think so. I would agree. And that engine also has a 10-speed, right? Now GM switched to 10-speeds across their heavy-duty lineup. Ram, well, they're using ZF. And according to ZF, 8-speeds is all you need.
Apparently,
Which I respect that decision.
Sure, sure.
I think we respect that. You know, ZF is one of the...
8 is a lot, so...
ZF is one of the more reliable transmission manufacturers of all time.
Yeah.
So of course, I respect that.
Yeah, and the 10-speed... In the GM trucks especially, is having some issues at the moment.
Yeah, we have a 10-speed Duramax heavy-duty Chevy. We haven't experienced any issues personally
with
our transmission, but we've heard many reports and there are some recalls surrounding some of their 10 speeds. But if we talked about recalls, I think we would have to mention every engine,
because
every engine has had a recent recall.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Toyota V6 is a lot more vehicles just got added to the list of recalls.
And that's a really significant recall because they're replacing engines.
Yeah. And then of course the GM 6.2s.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
There's a lot going on with recalls, which is why like reliability has creeped into my mind.
That's fair.
Really, really heavily recently. Like the recent story that Zach wrote about the Toyota V6 twin turbo, non-hybrid. This is only focused on the non-hybrid V6 twin turbos. They're going to recall another 127,000 engines.
Yeah, which is a lot.
Okay.
That's tough.
So I think you and I agreed that the 7.3 Ford, for the power delivery and just overall usefulness, I think it's king.
As far as the gas engines.
Yes.
But we have to talk about the premier
elephant
engines
in the room.
Yeah. The big diesels.
Yes, the big diesels. So I think all of them are kings in their own right.
100%, yeah. They all make tons of power, tons of torque, get pretty good efficiency, especially for big trucks. So they all deserve some credit. For me, the favorite is going to be...
I think I'm going to guess this one.
Oh, yeah. You know what it is ultimately.
I think our producer Cole knows. I think our audience knows.
Yeah. Okay. For me, it's going to be between, because I am going to try to be fair here.
Okay.
It's going to be between the Powerstroke high output and the Cummins.
I think I'm in the same area with you.
Really?
I'm not saying that the GM Duramax V8 is a bad engine.
No, the Duramax is awesome.
But, well, the recent transmission issues are a small caveat there.
Doesn't help.
A slight caveat. But when you and I drive that high output Powerstroke, and also the latest Cummins, you and I went out to the Davis Dam area and we pulled some heavy trailers with the new Cummins and the new 8-speed also.
Yeah.
That's a very impressive combination. And, of course, Ford has done really well with their power strokes.
Yeah, and the power stroke has more power and more torque, 500 horsepower, 1,200
And not just on paper. You can actually feel it when driving it.
Yeah, it's almost bordering on too powerful because we've done some drag race videos pulling trailers with these trucks.
Yes.
And the Ford just lights the tires.
Exactly. Oh, and sometimes it pulls power, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on exactly how you launch it, but a lot of these trucks, they're so powerful now, it's really difficult to actually launch them, is because sometimes you spin tires, sometimes the computer system pulls a tiny bit of power, even though if you can turn off traction control system, it's still pulling a little bit of power because it's like, I don't want to overwhelm the transmission and the axles and all this stuff with so much power.
On paper, you can't argue with the numbers from the Powerstroke high output because it's the most.
Yes.
500, 1,200, two nice round numbers that are unbelievably impressive. So it's got that going for it. But ultimately, I'm going to pick the Cummins primarily because of the character of the engine. The way that it sounds, the operation, and the effectiveness of the exhaust brake. And it is a lazier engine. It doesn't want to rev as much as the Duramax and as the Powerstroke. So in a drag race.
But I think that's okay.
I do too.
I mean, when you're working
When
you're working your truck every day, you're not worried about, 0 to 60 times probably.
Yeah. And I just love the sound of a straight six diesel.
Hey, look, I'm wearing the same shirt.
Oh, nice.
I love this shirt.
I got a different one on, so I did it.
That's
I did okay.
Yeah, you did good. We're looking at their video from Davis Dam, which was, by the way, not in the middle of the summer. Because if this was the middle of the summer at Davis Dam, it would be 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and I would not be wearing my flannel shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
In that case.
But the Cummins is an awesome engine. I really, again, I like the character of it a lot. It makes so much of that torque down low. Love the way it sounds. Love the exhaust brake on it especially. It's my favorite of the three exhaust brakes. And we use the exhaust brake a lot in the mountains. So I like the Cummins.
Okay. I hear you. But if the Cummins, the new 2025-2026 Cummins 8-speed combo was equally as efficient in our testing with the power stroke high output.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have.
I would choose Cummins. But the power stroke in our particular testing that we've done is a little bit more efficient. And fuel is money, and money is, you know, business. So for that reason, it's hard for me to completely go all in on the Cummins. So I think Ford, you know, if Cummins comes out with a solution for this, I don't know. We've heard rumors about slightly bigger displacement Cummins coming very soon.
Which would be cool.
7.2, right? 7.2. Guys, if this is true, come on. Just bring it. Just bring it. And then the Cummins will be a complete...
Find a way to put a 7.2 Cummins, my second gen.
Oh yes. And if it makes it a little bit more cleaner burning and a little bit more efficient, I mean, this would be key. But I think high output power stroke, I mean, has to be on this list.
Yeah, for sure. If I were running a fleet company and all that mattered were the numbers of fuel economy in the margins and those power figures and everything, I might lean toward the power stroke. But ultimately, as expensive as HD trucks are now, if I'm going to be spending, not that I am, but if I were to be spending the better part of $100,000 on a truck, I not only want it to be good on paper, which all three of them are, but I want to enjoy it. If I'm buying a truck for myself, I want to like the way it sounds and like the way it feels if I'm going to spend that much money on it, which is why I would go for the Cummins, because I just like the sound and the character of the engine the most.
And the exhaust brake, all those elements on
all
that
engine. Things.
Yeah, so all those elements.
That's why I would go for it. But I wouldn't necessarily try and push somebody else in the same direction if they don't care at all about those things. Then,
if it's all about the numbers, maybe, or if it's all about this and that.
I'm just speaking for myself. Straight six diesel feels right.
Okay, so we're getting closer to the end of our list. Of our list. So we've called out the 3-liter Duramax, the 5-liter V8 Coyote. We called out Ford V6s. We're a little bit Ford heavy on this list.
You more than I.
Yes.
Because I picked the 3-liter Duramax and the midsize trucks.
I am Ford heavy. What is wrong with me?
Oh, man. You got to wonder. but there's one more thing that I think we should mention.
Yes.
The very end of the podcast that we'll do very briefly.
Yes.
Because everybody will hate it. For electric trucks, I'm going to give it to the GM Sierra Silverado EV because they actually have a lot of range. They're very powerful. They can move a trailer, no doubt about that. And we've towed 230, 240 miles on a charge, decent-sized trailer.
With a big-box trailer, yeah.
With a Silverado EV. So that battery is so big that you actually get a reasonable amount of range with it. It's still not the best setup for pulling cross-country because you would have to stop and charge at some point, and there's no convenient way to do that with a trailer. But if you own a trailer and you were looking at a Silverado EV and you needed to tow 100 miles to a lake with your boat or something, it'd be fine for that.
Yes. So if we just wrapping up with the electric pickup trucks, have to bring up Rivian and Tesla, of course. Have to think about F-150 Lightning is almost on its way out because there was a fire at one of the suppliers that supplies aluminum and some parts to the F-150 Lightning production. And Ford paused production, and there's a lot of rumors flying around. What about the future of the F-150 Lightning? GM is going strong. They're doing more options of their Hummer EV trucks. They're doing their GMC electrics, their Chevy electrics. They're doing a lot with electricity. And if I thought about all those, I would go GM as well.
Yeah.
Even though Rivian is also a pretty nice vehicle.
Sure.
We've experienced all of them.
The GM trucks have the biggest battery, the most amount of range, and that's the biggest issue towing with an EV. So
yeah, and that's a thing that pickup trucks do.
You got to give it so to the GM. GM trucks. They're also the heaviest, so they feel the most stable.
Yes, and I think if I was going to go for style, like you said, enjoying the truck that you're buying, I'm leaning a little GMC. I'm not a big fan of Chevy Silverado EV styling and kind of some of the elements that they have there. So I would have to go Sierra EV. So I'm going to write down Sierra EV here. And also reliability, electric reliability is quite good. We don't have a grasp on all of that right now.
Very few moving parts. It's not hard to wrap your head around why those are powertrains that can go a long time. EVs have been around long enough for us to see that the longevity is there. Even though people are generally very concerned about battery degradation over time, the large statistics taken from all the EVs that have been put on the road for however many years and however many miles, degradation is actually not that bad. So, durability, longevity on the EVs is better than most people think it is.
Exactly. And for example, we recently sold, we had a Tesla Model S from 2014. We just recently sold it. That car has most of its range it had when it was new. My wife still drives a 2014 BMW i3 electric car. That car also has most of its range from its new.
So we've seen it firsthand, but you can find statistics out there that support it.
Yeah, if you're looking about raw reliability, I mean, replacement costs are huge for a lot of these vehicles because a headlamp on a Ford truck is like $1,000, $2,000 anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So replacement and maintenance on all these vehicles is quite intense and quite heavy.
But the likelihood of you being financially responsible for replacing the battery pack in an EV is actually pretty low.
Very, very low. And
unless you have an air-cooled first-gen Leaf, in which case... It's very hot.
We feel for you.
Yeah. So between all these engines, Andre.
Yes.
Every powertrain that we've talked about and the ones for each category of truck that we've highlighted as being number one in that category. On this list, which engine are you going to pick outright?
Wow. The engine that I'm going to pick doesn't exist.
You're designing an engine?
Yes.
Really?
I want...
Tell me about it.
Here's what I want from General Motors.
Okay.
We started this podcast by saying Gen 6 is coming.
Yeah.
Okay? We know it's coming. They've invested... They've retooled the factory. They've invested almost $1 billion. What I want to see within the next few months, because it's coming within the next few months, is a small V8, let's say 5.7. Okay, let's say that's true. A 5.7... 350 Chevy with a little electric motor on the back of it to make it a quote-unquote hybrid similar to what Ford has done with their EcoBoosts. But I would like to see it with a non-turbocharged engine and see how that combination works. And that will improve their efficiency, not by 4% or 6%. It could improve their efficiency by a significant margin and allow them to weld off their trucks and do a lot of cool things.
I think it's an interesting idea.
Okay.
I am still interested to know, though, of all these engines we discussed that you can actually buy.
Thank you.
Which ones are your favorite? Did you pick the Power Stroke as your HD diesel?
Yeah, I was leaning to it.
But you didn't want to say it because you picked a lot of Fords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, It's not, you could call me a Ford guy. Go ahead. You could call me that.
But own a Toyota, so.
Yes, but I really like a lot of their powertrains.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, that's basically it. So if I look at all this stuff right now, I'm kind of going back to the V8. So I might say Coyote because I called that out initially. Wow. I told you, I started this episode.
Yeah.
You heard me, right?
You're a big V8 guy, I get it.
So I'm going, and I'm not, the power, the overall power output number is not as important to me as in just like I said, it needs to be a solid working vehicle that is efficient. I think efficiency and reliability is now pushing higher on my priority list. So, and our Coyote is actually not that bad on efficiency either.
No,
we recently tested it.
Compared to the EcoBoost, even day-to-day driving around.
It's almost the same.
Yeah, it does really well.
So I'm going to lean towards the Coyote right now, 5.0.
I love that.
Okay.
For you.
Are you going to go Maverick?
No, come on. So when my only thing with the Coyote is when we've used that F-150 to pull trailers cross country, it's working hard. It's screaming the whole time. And it sounds good. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but there's nothing like hitching up a trailer to drive cross country with any one of the big diesels, and my favorite of those is the Cummins. So of all the engines you could get in a brand new pickup truck.
Cummins all the way?
All the way.
You also own an older Cummins. So
I love it.
It makes sense.
Ah, so good.
And you're right. I mean, when people ask me, what is your favorite truck, period? It's a very hard question to answer because what I answer with is, what job are you looking to do?
Yeah.
Right? So if you ask me to tow 20,000-pound trailer, I can't do it with a 5-liter V8, right? It's impossible. That truck is not rated for that much. It will be, even if you pulled it across your field and at your ranch, it still wouldn't be a great experience.
Yeah, right? But you don't necessarily want to daily drive an HD.
Exactly. So it always comes down to your task, the job you're trying to accomplish. And right now, just based on my needs, you know, I have a 6,000-pound boat with a trailer. So just for that, you know, for my personal needs, I don't need a heavy-duty truck per se. So that's why I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards more of a half-ton segment right now. And I'm leaning towards a nice, simple V8, I would say.
Yeah, usually if I'm actually using my truck, it's because I'm using the bed, and having the 8-foot bed of an HD is nice.
Yes. Not,
you could get an 8-foot bed in something else.
Sure.
But I also end up having to tow all of my crummy project cars around here and there.
So you're towing quite a bit. And
the diesel for that is great.
It's key.
So that's the combination. Yeah, usually when I'm using my truck is pulling one of my cars or loading up the bed. Like right now, I've got a bunch of tree trimmings in the bed of the truck filled to the brim.
Exactly. That's what the truck is about. You know, it's versatility.
Yeah. So those kind of things push me toward an HD. You can do all those jobs with other types of trucks. But when you get in an HD truck, the amount of capability that you've got is hard to beat.
And I think in the future, if the charging infrastructure was better and will be better, I think if we did this podcast like 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, I think I could be leaning really electric.
Interesting.
A little bit more electric because, once again, simplicity, ease of use. But right now, if you ask me to go from here to Lake Powell with a trailer, even using the best Sierra EV imaginable,
it's going to be a pain.
It still would not be as easy as doing it with a V8 or a diesel or any combination of those. So that's kind of where it is right now, at least for me. We also have to address one other item because there was a comment about this and we have...
The tires? Snow tires?
No. Oh, the snow tires.
Yeah, we said we'd mention that.
Well, yeah. So whenever we go off-road on something very, very difficult, or if we go on snow, airing down sometimes helps because you get a bigger patch of tire, right? So that's down. But I was also talking about the shock we all received personally from passing of our dear friend, our mechanic, Toby, that has worked with us over the years. We want to do something special separately. That's why we won't, you know, focusing on what's going on with that situation. So thank you, Don, for really, you know, the outpouring of support has been really, really great because Toby's wife, Paige, really needs it.
Yeah.
Because their mechanic shop, German Auto in Boulder, was their basically...
It was their livelihood.
But it was also the skill of Toby that really drew people, you know, into that business, and also the care that Paige provided for all the customers there. And the fact that Toby is no longer here after just a freak accident, basically.
Yeah.
He was hunting in the woods and ATV-related. So an ATV-related accident, it's just awful.
Yeah, and there's, like you said, a page that you can donate to that we should be able to link in here, and it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, so we want to do something separate for that. This is not about this, because we also want to make sure that we're respectful to Paige and her family and his family. So that's a kind of a different subject right now. Let's see. What does Chris say? Question for you guys. Why do the EVs focus on speed, torque instead of range?
I think speed and torque is easier to do.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to answer this question with as we wrap up, is I was listening to a lot of information from the new company Tello truck.
Yeah.
You know, the little compact electric pickup that's coming up hopefully next year. It's a startup company, so it's always difficult to launch a new company. But what some of those engineers were saying is that you could think of the electric motor is almost like the transmission, because it's transferring the electricity stored in the battery, and it's just turning it into the motion, basically, of the vehicle. So it's very easy for that electric motor to make a lot of power.
Yeah, range is more difficult because the
battery
energy
technology.
Density
yes.
of a battery is the single most difficult hurdle for bringing EVs into the future,
yes.
making them better. So it's really easy to make them powerful and quick. It's not as easy to give them 500 miles of range.
So if you're talking about a tiny vehicle like a Tello pickup truck, and they say it's capable of 500 horsepower, it's true. But when you're driving it from here to Costco, you might be using 20 horsepower, right? It's very efficient. It's a very easy way of transfer power. It's just that the battery technology is where it's at, right?
Yeah. So again, questions like these, things that we can answer. If you're a member on Patreon, you can watch the podcast live, give us some questions, and we can address them in real time.
Yes. And Chris says, maybe a Gen 6 V8 from GM will be my dream engine next year.
Maybe.
Hey, let's do this again next year when we have those engines.
I like this topic.
There you go. Thanks for joining us once again. Check out alltfl.com, and we'll see you next time.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.